164, towards the retreat on the mountain before the election of the apostles, May 15, 1945. The boats of Peter and John are sailing on the placid lake. They are followed by, I think, all the boats that exist on the shores of Tiberias, because they are so numerous, large and small, coming and going, endeavoring to reach and overtake the boat in which Jesus is, and then forming a long line behind it. Prayers, entreaties, requests and outcries can be heard over the blue waves. Jesus promises, replies and blesses. In his boat there is also Mary, and the mother of James and Judas. Whereas in the other boat there is Mary Salome with her son John and Susanna.
Yes, I will come back. I promise you. Be good. Remember my words so that you may connect them with the ones I will tell you later. I will not be away long. Do not be selfish. I have come also for other people. Be good. You will hurt yourselves. Yes, I will pray for you. You will always have me with you. The Lord be with you. Of course, I will remember your tears and you will be comforted. You must hope and have faith.
And thus, blessing and promising while the boat is moving, they reach the shore. It is not Tiberias, but a tiny little village, a handful of poor, almost forlorn houses. Jesus and the disciples disembark, and the boats handled by the servants in Zebedee go back. Also the other boats imitate them, but many of the people in them disembark and want to follow Jesus at all costs. Among them, I can see Isaac with his two proteges, Joseph and Timoneus. I do not recognize anybody else amongst the many people of all ages, from the youngsters to old people. Jesus leaves the village, the few poorly dressed inhabitants of which remain quite indifferent. Jesus has given alms to them, and then reaches the main road. He stops.
And now, let us part,
he says.
Mother, you with Mary and Salome will go to Nazareth. Susanna can go to Cana. I will soon come back. Do you know what is to be done? God be with you.
But for his mother he has a special greeting, a salutation all smiles, and also when Mary kneels down, setting an example to the others, in order to be blessed. Jesus smiles most kindly. The women, with Alphaeus of Sarah and Simon, go towards their town. Jesus addresses those who have stayed.
I leave you, but I am not sending you away. I leave you for a short time, as I am retiring with my disciples to those mountain gorges which you can see over there. Who wishes to wait for me should do so here on this plain. Those who do not wish to wait can go home. I am retiring to pray, because I am on the eve of great events. Those who love the cause of the Father should pray, joining me in spirit. Peace be with you, my children. Isaac, do you know what you have to do? I bless you, my little shepherd.
Jesus smiles at emaciated Isaac, who is now the shepherd of men gathering around him. Jesus is now walking away from the lake, turning his steps decidedly towards a gorge between the hills, which stretch in parallel lines. I would say, from the lake westward. A little but very noisy foamy stream runs down between one rocky rugged hill and the next one, which is so steep that it resembles a waterfall. Above the stream there is the wild mountain with ugly looking plants, which have grown in all directions, wherever they could, in the crevices between stones. A very narrow steep path climbs up the more rugged hill, and Jesus takes it. The disciples follow him with difficulty, in single file, in dead silence. Only when Jesus stops to let them recover their breath, where the path, which looks like a scratch on the impervious mountainside, widens out, they look at one another without uttering a word. Their glances say, "But where is he taking us?" But they do not speak. They only look at one another more and more desolately as they see Jesus resume walking up the wild gorge, with its many caves, crevices and rocks, where it is very difficult to walk, also because of the bramble and thorny bushes, which catch their clothes on all sides, and scratch them, and cause them to stumble and hurt their faces. Also the younger ones, laden with heavy sacks, have lost their good humor. At last Jesus stops and says,
"We shall stop here for a week in prayer, to prepare you for a great event. That is why I wanted to be isolated in this desert place, away from all roads and villages. The grottos here have already been useful to men in the past. They will be useful also to you. The water here is cool and plentiful, whereas the earth is dry. We have enough bread and food for the time we shall be staying. Those who last year were with me, in the desert, know how I live there. This is a royal palace compared with that place, and the season, which is now mild, is not affected by the icy bitterness of frost or the burning heat of the sun. You may, therefore, stay here cheerfully. Perhaps we shall never again be all together like this and all alone. This retreat must unite you, making not 12 men of you, but one only institution. Are you not saying anything? Are you not asking any questions? Lay on that rock the loads that you are carrying, and throw down the valley the other load that you have in your hearts, your humanity. I have brought you here to speak to your spirits, to nourish your spirits, to make you spiritual. I shall not speak many words. I have told you, so many in approximately 1 year, that I have been with you. Enough of that. If I should have to change you by means of words, I would have to keep you 10 years, 100 years, and you would still be imperfect. It is now time that I make use of you. And to make use of you, I must form you. I will have recourse to the great medicine, to the great weapon, to prayer. I have always prayed for you. But now I want you to pray by yourselves. I will not yet teach you my prayer. But I will tell you how to pray, and what prayer is. It is the conversation of sons with the Father, of spirits with the Spirit, an open, warm, trustful, quiet and frank conversation. Prayer is everything. It is confession, knowledge of ourselves, repentance, a promise to ourselves, and to God, a request to God, all done at the feet of the Father. And it cannot be done in a turmoil, among distractions, unless one is a giant in prayer. And even giants suffer from the clash with the noise of the world in their time of prayer. You are not giants, but pygmies. You are but infants in your spirits. You are deficient in your spirits. You will reach here the age of spiritual reason. The rest will come later. In the morning, at midday, and in the evening, we shall gather together to pray with the old words of Israel, and to break our bread. Then each of you will go back to his grotto, in front of God, and of his soul, in front of what I told you in regard to your mission, and to your capabilities. Weigh yourselves, listen to yourselves, make up your minds. I am telling you for the last time. And after you will have to be perfect, as much as you can, without tiredness, and without your humanity. Then you will no longer be Simon of Jonah and Judas of Simon. No longer Andrew, John, Matthew, or Thomas. But you will be my ministers. Go. Each by himself. I shall be in that cave. I shall always be present. But do not come without a good reason. You must learn to do things by yourselves and be all by yourselves. Because I solemnly tell you, that a year ago we were about to become acquainted with one another, and in 2 years' time we shall be parting. Woe betide you and me, if you have not learned to act by yourselves. God be with you. Judas and John, take the foodstuffs into my cave, that one. They must last and I will hand them out.
They are not enough.
Objects someone.
They are sufficient not to die. An overly full stomach makes the spirit dull. I want to elevate you, and not make you dead weights.
It all ends thus.